upon God through the process. God sent Haggai and Zechariah to preach messages to them, and they delivered it to them. And as they did, they repented and began building of the temple. When we go from chapter 6 into chapter 7, it is, while on paper and through the history of this, it would appear that we're going from the building of the temple into chapter 7 and further. But in reality, there's about 57 years lapsing between chapter 6 into chapter 7. When Cyrus had given the decree to have the temple rebuilt, he sent back certain numbers of the children of Israel. Here, roughly again, 57 years later, in chapter 7, Artaxerxes is now king of Persia. He is sending a second colony, if you will, or a second group of Jews back to Jerusalem. Ezra is the one who is leading this transition here. And so from chapter 7 through the end of the book into chapter 10, we find again another transition here within this period of time. There is not much recorded here between chapter 6 and chapter 7 as far as what is taking place during this time. We will find when we go into chapter 9 and chapter 10 that through that 57-year time period, things have not gone according to the Word of God. And we'll find that as we get into those chapters here in the next couple of weeks. But let's go to chapter 7, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse 10, and then we'll make some comments and get some background here as to what's taking place. The Bible says, "Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Methariah, the son of Zariah, the son of Uzai, the son of Bukai, the son of Ashbuya, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest." So what we have here is going from Aaron to Ezra. He's giving his lineage here. And then in verse number 6, the Bible says, "Then Ezra went up from Babylon when he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which is the word of God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel and some of the priests and the Levites and the singers and the porters and the Nethiums unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. In the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." We're going to preach a message entitled tonight, "Ezra Giving a Lesson in the Scriptures." Let's pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for how much you love us. And God, we are overwhelmed by your goodness to us. And Father, even in times of sorrow, even in times of heaviness, Father, we can sense your love. We can feel your love. We thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, that ministers to our hearts. And Father, I pray tonight as we look in this chapter in the book of Ezra that you have preserved for us and saved for us, that we might glean from it tonight, that we might find what your word has for us, and Father, that we may be as Ezra did, that we might do it according to your word. Help us this night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So within these first 10 verses here, as we have read, we're finding the genealogy of Ezra giving us his journey to Jerusalem. Ezra was a very distinguished man. One of the things we must take note of and recognize through this is Ezra had the ear of the king. If you will remind yourself, even through the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah also had the ear of the king. Now, has anyone in this room ever met a United States president? You have. One, two. Who did you meet, Greg? Jimmy Carter? After, not while he was president, but after. I was going to say, how old were you? and you remember that. Ms. Peggy, who did you meet? Ronald Reagan. While he was president? And that is amazing. How long did you get to talk to him? Okay. So not really, welcome to the White House, come over, have a cup of tea. Nothing like that. Now, could you imagine that? I mean, it's not something that everyone gets to do, okay? And just shaking of a president's hand is a big deal because not everyone gets to do that. I mean, think about it. In this room right now, one person got to meet one time, shaking of the hand, one U.S. president. It's not a common thing. And so in this, the fact that Ezra here, take note in verse number 6. It says, "And this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses." Now, he had been studying, he had been learning, he had been transcribing. That's the idea of the scribe, is one that translates and writes down and carries over. They did not have what we have today as far as printing presses. If something was to be carried over, they did it by hand. By hand. Now imagine, if you will, how many of you have the same Bible you have had since the day you were saved, and it's the Bible you use today? All right, very good, a couple of you. Again, not many. So some of you have new Bibles, right? How many of you, when that Bible wore out, you copied it all by hand, and that's what you carry today? Awesome. The Bible you carry today is the one that you copied by hand and put in a notebook, and you carry that today because your first Bible wore out. But you got a new Bible. Okay, so we're not sitting down and handwriting our old Bible, correct? Now, how many of you think that if we were to do that, I mean, if we were to sit down and make copies by hand, how many of you think you would have perfected everything word for word and spelled correctly in doing so? No one. Wow. So really what we're saying is what Ezra had the job of doing was a pretty important job. Now, one of the things, I'll give you a quick history here of the scribes, and this, again, was not an easy task. This was not an easy job that just anybody wanted to do. Because several things. One, they were doing this on scrolls. They did not have erasers like we have erasers. They didn't have backspace. They didn't have whiteout. If they made an error, it was a big deal. You want to know why it was a big deal? Because they burned the copy and they started over. Now imagine. Imagine, if you will, you're in Genesis. How many chapters in Genesis? 50 chapters. Imagine getting all the way to chapter 47, and you made an error. Now, the Hebrews took transcribing the Word of God very seriously, so serious, they didn't want any errors in it. Amen. We have a perfect Bible. Because people took it serious, and they would not just put it to the side and say, well, I'll start that over. No, they burned it because they didn't want the Word of God to contain any errors. Amen. This was Ezra's job. This was not a just a normal job that anybody could have, we find that Ezra was also a priest within these first 10 verses. Now, from chapter 7, verse 11, through almost the end of the chapter here, we find the commission that was given to Ezra by Artaxerxes, the king. Look in verse 11. He says, "Now this is the copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, the king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of God, of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time. I will make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand, and to carry the silver and the gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel to the habitation is in Jerusalem. And all the silver and gold that thou canst find in the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priest, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, to offer upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever they or shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren, to do with the rest of the silver and gold that thou do after the will of your God. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have an occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasurers which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. Unto 100 talents of silver, unto 100 measures of wheat, unto 100 baths of wine, to 100 baths of oil, salt without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Also, we certify you that touching of any of the priests and the Levites, singers, porters, Nethims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, then teach them that ye know them not. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or to confiscation or goods or to imprisonment." So here we have this commission by King Artaxerxes, and my goodness, to say that the king was not a friend of Israel, my goodness. Notice this. I want you to notice the absolute trust that the king had of Ezra. The king trusted him by giving him this letter that said, you know what? As you're making your way from Persia, from Babylon, all the way back to Judea and Jerusalem, as you go through, collect some money. Let all this be done under the king's treasure. He said, collect some monies that you can get your burnt offerings, your drink offerings, and all the things that you're going to need. And if you have collected too much, Just use it however you see fit for the house of God. That's quite a bit of trust there. And so he's giving this, and he's giving this idea here that not only are they to do that, but they're to do it very quickly. And as they go through, they don't have to pay any toll. They don't have to pay any tribute. And how it was done, we know toll roads today are a little bit different than the way they were there. If you didn't pay the toll, I mean, they had soldiers there, and you weren't getting across. No, so you were going to pay something, or you weren't going. And this was something that was very significant here, that Ezra could just pull out this letter from the king and say, hey, read this. No tribute, no toll, no tax, no whatever, and they got a free passage all the way back to Jerusalem. Once they got there, we find that he says, he gives them not just that authority, but he gives them authority there that in verse number 26, my, this is really powerful here, because he says, and whosoever will not do to the law of God, he placed an emphasis where the emphasis should have been placed. But then he says, and the law of the king, then he says, let judgment be executed speedily upon him. He says, not only, Ezra, do you have the right and the ability to collect all of this money, but you have the right and the ability to execute judgment upon those that are doing contrary to the law of God and to the law of the king. He said, whether it's death, banishment, confiscation, goods, or imprisonment. He says, whatever it is you see fit, you do. And here's Ezra's testimony in verse 27 and 28 as he gives praise for the favor that he received from the king. Look at this. He said, blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened at the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. You see, Ezra understood something here. And what he understood was this. While he may have found favor with Artaxerxes, the king, it was only because God allowed it. Any favor that we might find amongst people today is only because God allows it. Now, you say, wow, we went through those 28 verses pretty fast. Let's pray and go home. No. Why did all of this happen? What was it about Ezra that stood out? What was it about Ezra's life? What was it about Ezra that allowed the king to see something in him that he didn't see in others? We find the answer back in verse number 10. And I want to spend the next few moments looking at verse number 10, because I believe that if we apply these same principles, wow, my goodness, how will God use us? Look at verse 10, if you will, please. The Bible says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra had been learning the law of God and learning the law of Moses that God gave. He had been transcribing it. He had been transforming it. He had been doing all of those things. And in that, the Bible tells us that in this, in seeking truth, I want you to note, number one, that he had the right method. He had the right method. Note the very first part there in verse number 10, that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. You see, he had the idea of seeking truth. And we may be on a journey ourselves tonight of seeking truth. We talk about in our society, we talk about even not just through our society here in America, but throughout the world, there is a people, and as people, we have always sought for truth. Now, the fact still remains, though, that while we may be seeking truth, the truth is not always found. Let's just face it. I will say that in my thinking here of, let's go with Muhammad, the prophet. Muhammad, I think, deep down, probably sincerely, had a desire to know truth. But he didn't find truth. And what he perpetrated and what he taught and what he was giving to other people that today, as we know of Islam, is not truth. I think there are others. We could go through and name, many men throughout history that had a seeking for truth, but yet never found it. They had a idea. But here, Ezra, as he prepared his heart, as he was seeking truth, but he sought the truth in the law of God. That is what he was seeking. And he put forth the efforts to find it, and he had the right method here. But I want you to note, too, that not only did he have the right method, but secondly, he had the right manner. He prepared himself. He prepared himself to seek the law of the Lord. He prepared himself, but not just prepared himself. He had a mind to do it. He had a mind to do it. Now, we have somewhat conditioned ourselves in our society. While we want to know the truth, but sometimes when we hear the truth, we don't always welcome the truth because we don't like the truth. And sometimes that's difficult. You know, I usually use this illustration. You know, sometimes it's how the truth comes out. You know, and we talk about in the New Testament, we talk about speaking the truth in love. You know, there's a right way to give the truth, and there's a wrong way to give the truth. You know. One of the wrong ways is that we don't like to hear it this way is, Brother Scott, your breath stinks, man. I mean, my goodness, I mean, we're 15 feet away and good night, brother. You don't want to hear that, do you? I mean, just announce it out in front of everybody, you know. I'm 30 feet away from you and I can smell you from here, you know. Do something about that, man. I mean, come on. I mean, think about poor Jimbo. He's sitting real close to you. Brady's got to go home with you tonight, man. I mean, take care of that. Now, hold on a second. There's a better way to do that, right? Right? Now, it may be true. Now, look, it's not true. Because if it was true, Jimbo wouldn't be sitting next to him. And Brittany would have already told him, go home, right? Go home. Just don't even come tonight. Just stay home. Scrub them down. Take a shower. Do something. So we know that's not true. They tell me, Brother Scott, I only pick on the people in the front row. It's not true, Miss Peggy. I'm branching out. It's a new year. No one's safe, Brother Mike. So there is sometimes a good way to tell the truth and a bad way to tell the truth. But nonetheless, the truth must be told. The truth must be shared. The truth must be given. And here is Ezra. He's saying, not only do I want to seek the law of the Lord and do it. I think one of the reasons why we don't spend more time in the Bible and in the Word of God is because deep down we really don't want to do it. We don't really want to do what is in here. But one of the things that set Ezra apart and set Ezra aside is the fact that he prepared himself and said, you know what? Whatever I find in here, I'm going to do it. Now, I'm just telling you, we don't do that today. As a matter of fact, what we do is, we do this. We say, well, That's not, I know that's what it says. But Brother Shane, what's it mean? I mean, you know. I know what it says. I know the Bible says, if you have fault with your brother, go to him. But that's not really what it means. Right? That's not right. Oh, that's what we do. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. You need the cranberries too. Put cranberries in trail mix. Some people do. Anyway. He said to do it. I'm one of those people, and I know sometimes we have to dig into the Bible and that kind of thing, but you know, I'm pretty sure that we have a God that said what he meant and meant what he said. Amen. I mean, that's just the kind of God we have. And here's Ezra. He's preparing his heart. And what we want to do is we want to try to change the Bible to match my heart. But the Bible tells us the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Oh, it's desperately wicked. It's deceitfully wicked. Now, hold on a second. We have a saying in our culture, oh, just follow your heart. Go right ahead. We have a saying in the Bible, too. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. Follow your heart. Go right ahead. If you want to follow a deceitful, wicked person. So what do we have to do? We have to prepare our heart to say, hey, you know what? When you get in here, you're going to read some things that you don't agree with. Do them anyway. You got to prepare your heart to say, you're going to find some things in here that don't set well with you. Do it anyway. You're going to find some things in the Word of God that you're just going to say, because there's nothing else you can say. Do it anyway. Oh, I'll tell you, when you get in the Word of God and you go in with open mind and an open heart to say, I'm going to do what it says. That is what set Ezra apart. I mean, there weren't too many people that we find here that are going through to say, hey, you know, we know their names. I mean, there's a lot of names mentioned in the Bible, but there's a lot of names not mentioned in the Bible too. And here we find Ezra being mentioned. Why? Because he prepared his heart. He had the right method, the right manner, and he was seeking in the right place the law of God. It is supposed that the 119th Psalm was penned by Ezra. When you read through the 119th Psalm, you can see the wonders of the Lord. The law of the Lord. The Word of God is the primary emphasis all throughout the longest psalm given. Ezra had the right method, the right manner, seeking it in the right place. Where are you seeking truth today? If you're trying to find truth in the New York Journal, if you're seeking the truth from Fox News because they say we're fair and balanced, CNN, not going to find it there. USA Today, not there. New York Times, not there. Where do you want to find the truth? If you are sincere in finding the truth, it's the Word of God. And it will change your life. Ezra started out as a scribe because he was kind of born into this thing. It was a job given to him because his daddy had it, and his daddy had it, and his daddy had it, and now he's ready. And he says, well, it's my turn. And he goes in and he starts scribing, and he's reading the words of Moses. He's reading the law of God. And it changed his life. It changed his life. Because he had the right method. He prepared his heart. Seeking for truth, the right manner. He was ready to do it. And he was seeking it in the right place in the law of God. It's the only place. When we get into this, here is, I think, the most important factor in knowing the truth. And I want you to note this, the very last part. For he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You see, it's our responsibility as people who know the truth and have the truth, hold on, to tell the truth. God places a pretty important emphasis on the truth, okay? And in that emphasis, it is highly, highly, highly important that when we know the truth, when we have the truth, we share the truth. Oh my. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It makes you free. Not set you free, but make you free. Because there is a difference in making one free and setting one free. Let me illustrate it like this. If I'm in handcuffs and leg shackles and you see me running down the road, and Justin pulls over and says, hey, get in. And he takes me to this metal shop and cuts my handcuffs off, my leg shackles, because he has those materials to do that. And he says, now get out of here. You're free. I'm out of here. I'm walking free, right? Yeah, right up until the moment I'm walking down the street again and I see the blue and red lights. Then what do? Play dead. Somebody else said run. I hide, right? Who said hide? Was that you, Braden? Very good. Smart young man right there. You been on the run before? You hide. And you're constantly looking over your shoulder. But hold on a second. I thought you were set free. I was set free. But there's a big difference between being put in shackles and going before the judge, and the judge says, you're free. You know what I'm doing? I'm saying, get these things off of me. I'm walking out of the courthouse a free man, and it doesn't matter. I can see red and blue lights go down the road all day long, and I don't get nervous. Free people don't get nervous. Amen? Because they've been made free. That's what makes the difference. And it is the truth that makes us free. And when we know the truth, we're to share the truth. The truth is tonight that Jesus died to save all of mankind. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he did it to save mankind. We heard a message this morning about witnessing and sharing the gospel and the Great Commission, and we have the truth. And we don't have the truth so that we can keep it within the confines of this building. We have it so that we can share it. Ezra said, I've got the truth. I want to do it. but I'm going to share it with all Israel. You see, one of the things that was lost during this time was the Word of God. They knew some, they knew part, but they didn't have the whole thing. They didn't have everything that was available. And so Ezra is coming into town, coming into Jerusalem, carrying the truth. And can I say this, and not meaning anything disrespectful by it, but it's about to get real in Jerusalem. Because Ezra's coming, and he has the truth. And he's about to share the truth. And they're not going to like it. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to see the insight of the Word of God on Ezra's life as he shares it in Jerusalem. Here's the point tonight. We hold it perhaps a reliable, perfect, infallible, inspired Word of God. One, are you preparing your heart for what it says? Are you willing to do what it says? And third, are you willing to share what it says? You say, well, Pastor, people aren't going to like it. Jerusalem didn't like it either. But it's still our responsibility to share it because it's what the Word says. You see, we can come up with all the excuses we want to, but at the end of the day, if we prepare our heart and we seek to do it, we'll share it. Bottom line, we can make every excuse we want to, but we must share it. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Where are you at? You going to share the Word? Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, to teach in Israel statutes and judgments.